Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour back in our Father's Word, Book of Luke, the Light Giver. And certainly light, he does shine on a troubled world when you pay attention to the Word of God. Christ has just sent out 70 disciples. I suppose we could even call them apostles now. That means the sent ones. And he sent them in groups of two, which is a group of 35. And 35 being hope, giving hope and the promise to those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. And in instructing them, those instructions still hold to this day, if you want to be blessed. That's where the big thing comes in. Without God's blessings, you're not going anywhere, okay, in a ministry. You've got to have God's blessings. And with His blessings, then that simply means following His way according to His will, not yours, not somebody else's, but God's will. So as He continues instructing them, let's pick it up, if we may, in chapter 10, verse 8, a word of wisdom from our Father as He continues preparing them to go forth. Verse 8, and it reads, "And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you." That is to say, if they receive you as a Christian disciple, they will be a Christian household, and whatever they serve will be according to God's law anyway. Verse 9, "And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." And so it has to us also, the King and His dominion. Christ is our King, and His dominion is this world and the universe. Naturally, when He tells them to heal, always do it in whose name? Christ's name, if you want results. Verse 10, "But unto whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say..." Verse 11, this is what you do. "Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." And whether they receive it or whether they do not, then they will know that the kingdom has been there. That's what you do in protest. And so it is. Christians are not second-class citizens. And we don't give up ground. We take ground. But then, if you're not received somewhere, don't cast your pearls before swine. You're wasting your time. There are ears just down, around the block or somewhere that God's going to send you, or that you're going to just come across through natural living, that wants to hear what you have to say. And they will receive it. Why? Well, they've got eyes to see and ears to hear. Otherwise, again, if God has sealed their ears, you are never, never going to open them. Verse 12, "But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." In other words, why? Verse 13, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes." And so it is. I mean, the dead had been raised. Healings had taken place. Demons cast out. All sorts of miracles happened in these places. The city of consolation, Capernaum. And about 2 miles away, Chorazin. And all these things happened there. And if Tyre and Sidon had seen that, and so it would be when at Nineveh, even when Nineveh was approached by a man of God and taught the real word, the whole city converted. And here, far more than happened at Nineveh, Christ Himself walked here and performed miracles. And yet there were many there that would not believe. 14. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And that's exactly how it is. God is the judge. It's written in the book of life, right by your name, if you happen to be one of those. Or it's written by your name if you receive it. 15. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. In other words, those that do not receive there, though you had every opportunity to witness firsthand, being an eyewitness to many of these miracles, which could only be attributed to one thing, and that's the hand of Almighty God. Then when they refused, there's only one place for you then. That's hell, which is to be blotted out. 16, he that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. This puts a person in pretty bad shape when they go against one of God's elect. It just isn't healthy for them. Why? God keeps records. God knows. And when God anoints and sends someone, then he expects them to be treated with dignity. Though he knows they'll be bruised, it doesn't matter. They can handle it. They can cut it. But woe to those that that do the threat. So there are the instructions, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And it's important that you don't read over that. Did they say, we cast out all the devils? That's not what they said. They said, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. In other words, when you use the power of that name, then naturally it is at that time when they know that that name is the Son of the Most High God. They know who that is, and they will obey. But your name won't cut a whole lot of slack with them. It's Christ's name. Again, the Son of the Most High God. He's the one that cuts the weight and accomplishes what it is that needs to be done. So whatever you do, don't ever hesitate, nor don't ever hold back from using or accomplishing your prayers in that name, making that request. Number one, it gives credentials that you are a believer in Messiah. That you know that woman that conceived and bare that son, and we call him Emmanuel, was the Son of the Most High God. And that is your credentials to that, whereby God's will be with you. Verse 18, listen to Christ's words. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What he's talking about here, I'm looking into the future. I can see Satan fall from heaven as the Antichrist, just as pure as can be. He's coming from heaven to the earth. We know that from Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. Michael's going to boot him, and not only Satan, but all of his fallen angels with him. And they're coming to earth. And they're right down here where you are. Does that give you something to worry about? No. Listen. 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Your power is greater than their power. And nothing, I repeat again, nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is why you've got to use your wisdom that you have obtained from the Word of God, knowing the parameters of that God allows you, and you must use it with that authority, knowing most of all where that authority comes from. Verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, and that is as it is. You're in the book of life, and as one of God's elect, that's real special. As we just covered in the great book of Ezekiel, you know where your place is in the millennium. It's right there by the altar. That's fantastic. But how is it that he gives you power over serpents, which is one of Satan's names, and scorpions? Why scorpions? Because scorpions are used in Revelation chapter 9 to show you the method, the MO of Satan as he attacks people as the scorpion. Well, what does the scorpion do? Well, traditions of the scorpion are quite well known. All you have to do is realize them. The scorpion has a long tail with a stinger in it. Well, when he attacks a victim, that with that tail, he strikes and paralyzes his victim. And then he has little pinchers on his mouth where he latches on to the victim and bites into the victim. You see, a scorpion has no stomach. And it is his way to regurgitate his digestive juices into the body of the victim. And the victim becomes his stomach, meaning it turns his backbone to mush. And that's what Satan will do to you if you listen to him. He will make a wimp out of you. He will turn your backbone to mush where there is nothing for you to stand on. That's why you must accept this power from Almighty God to withstand and to know that you have power over them and they run from you. But he says, even that's not the greatest thing for you, because the book by your name has eternal life written in it for you, whereby you live forever with the many blessings of Almighty God. That's something to really love and to know and to understand our Father about. Verse 21, listen carefully. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. It was successful. His children were. And he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, everything, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And so it is that Father picks whomever he will. Now, naturally, he picks those that proved themselves even in the first earth age. He knows what he's doing. He knows who he can count on. But where does this saying, out of the mouths of babes, come from? You can trace it all the way back, and it goes all the way back to 1 Samuel. We're going to turn there. You're going to have it on your screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 44. The whole army of Israel is held at bay on a hill over here. And across this draw and up on another hill is a giant walking back and forth, send out your champion, excuse me. And Israel's shaking in their boots. I mean, this is a giant. This is Goliath. And no one in Israel, no adult, no warrior will march out there and take on that giant. And this little sheep herder was sent by his father out to take some food to his brothers who were in that army. And he saw this giant one time go by, and it shamed him. And he said, let me have him. And here, this small lad, this babe, when no one else would go, Saul sent him. And the words are what counts, okay? When you do battle, you can understand why God gives us power over all our enemies. Because David used the main weapon. Let's see what that weapon was. Verse 44, 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it reads, "And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field." He was insulted because this kid was coming out after him. Verse 45, "And then said David to the Philistine," listen to these words, "for it is out of the mouth of this babe that they came. Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." That was his main weapon. He was coming in the name of Almighty God. 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may" what? "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Out of the mouth of a babe came this beautiful truth, this truth of Almighty God. Verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And so it is, and it is exactly that way. 48, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." He's charging. 49, "And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it." He had a slingshot. He had used it many times of taking care of his sheep. "And smote the Philistine in his forehead." His armor didn't do him any good. "That the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." He was dead. And David would take his own sword and cut dehead him. And Israel would have the victory. Well, out of the mouth of a babe. Well, what were the words? God delivers our enemies into our hands when we obey him, when we walk in him, when we obey him. God fights our battles for us. It is true that we fight, but it is always set up that we win. Always will, always have. As long as we have God with us. When God does not walk with us in our camp, that can be a problem, especially to the non-believers. And how precious it is that Christ is saying here, the big brains that do all the planning, they don't get it. But out of the mouth of babe came this truth of victory, of understanding. Why? Well, Christ saw Satan fall to this earth, and he knows that he's coming instead of Christ. And he knows that we, being armed with the truth, will stand against that one with the Holy Spirit speaking through us. As it is written in Mark chapter 13, we'll bring down the enemy. Because we have power over all our enemies, not just part of them. You don't have to fear anything. You may even weaken and you may stumble, but God will pick you up. So out of the mouth of this babe, when all of Israel shook, the victory was attained by the hand of God. God did not let that lad down. He gave that giant to him, and the Philistines were put in array. And God gave them the victory. So that's the simplicity that is the Word of God, when you take it as it is written and absorb it and believe and know of a certainty that God's still on the throne and that we have that victory regardless of what someone might think and or say, God is with us. And if God be with us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter. We have the victory and we have the power over their power. Their power is that one that falls from heaven, not the one that arrives from heaven. Their power comes from the prince of darkness. Our power comes from the prince of light. So let that light shine into your heart and your mind to know that you are privileged to participate in that power and might with the love of God, having the victory over all that offends. So let's return then to Luke chapter 10, verse 22. We'll pick it up there and continue. Christ still teaching. All things are delivered to me of my Father. That, every last one of them. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That is to say, who the Holy Spirit, God with us, touches your mind. You receiving that Holy Spirit, hear truth and have eyes to see and ears to hear to know the truth when you hear it. 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, this is not a public teaching now, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. And how precious it was, the display right there in front of them, that they could see the healings. They walked with Christ. 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And I say to you this day, many of the prophets of old wanted to live today to see these things that you have an opportunity to see and witness in this generation of the fig tree, and how precious it is. Don't ever forget, when you do have eyes to see and ears to hear, and this means to hear with understanding, that you can see the plan of God openly and plainly, that you're blessed. That's really all you need in life to succeed. Out of the mouth of babes comes the power of God, granting wisdom, knowledge, and guidance to all that participate in the plan of the living God. Verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Uh-oh. Here's a scripture lawyer, a higher critic, one that is always trying to make a name for himself, but always trying to destroy God's word. They're still with us today, higher critics, many of them. They try to make a living off of God's word, denouncing it, or saying why it couldn't be. That's your higher critic. He stood up, this lawyer did, a scripture lawyer, and he tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he shows his ignorance coming out the gate. Because if he was truly a lawyer of the scripture, he would know what the answer to that is. He wouldn't have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he's trying to do is to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ. 26. He said unto him, Christ answers, what is written in the law? How readest thou? You're a lawyer. You know what the law says. How do you read it? 27. The old scripture lawyer, he answered, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. He answers naturally with Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. And this is correct. Okay. Verse 28. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. That's your answer. 29. But now let's understand something in case you do not know the difference between a brother and a neighbor. And it's important or you're not going to understand this parable. A brother is one that is born of the womb of Israel. And a neighbor is one that is adopted into the house of Israel by adoption, not by blood. Okay. Got that? In other words, let's speak it like it is. A neighbor can be a Gentile or an ethnos and still be a good neighbor, a lover of the Lord God Almighty, by conversion or by adoption. That's the difference between a brother and a neighbor. Our discussion here is, and thy neighbor as thyself. Got it? Okay, hang on. Verse 29, and he said, willing to justify himself, God, this lawyer still wants to make a name for himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Verse 30, listen to how Jesus handles this. You already know who a neighbor is. It's an ethnic, adopted into Israel, and is a believer in the Most High God. Verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. I mean, they beat him up, raked him over, took everything he had, and left him for dead. 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Too goody-goody. I mean, just a priest of God marching along, but not doing anything to help one in trouble. 32. And likewise the Levite. I mean, this is one of the family of Aaron. Maybe another lawyer. Okay. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Oh, my. Too good to bother. 33. But a certain Samaritan, this is one that is hated of Israel and usually hated Israel, but this is a certain one, okay? He's a Gentile, Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You see, the compassion is what counts. That's our Father. This is how you can tell who your neighbor is. 34. And he went to him and bound up his wounds and poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. I mean, he walked and let this man ride. Caring for him. That's a neighbor for you. Verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. How could he possibly have known that this 2 pence was half a shekel? And a half a shekel, according to Exodus chapter 30, verse 12, is the price of salvation or the soul of an Israelite. Exactly. How could he possibly know that? Well, God's in charge. 36. Which now, Jesus continues asking the scripture lawyer, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? 37, and he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This would be kind of hard on this dude because he was trying to make a name for himself in front of his buddies. And he got put right down where the rubber meets the road of an actual truth that he could not deny. And in letting us know who our neighbor truly is one with compassion. And so it is. And that loves the Lord. Well, how could you know that this Samaritan loved the Lord? By his actions. By the grace. By the mercy. By the compassion. Compassion is the mark of God's elect. Don't ever forget that. You show me somebody that has no compassion, and I'll show you somebody that is not one of God's elect. Period. But here you have, whether it be a brother or a neighbor, compassion shown is the way of God. How precious is the word of God, and how simple it is when Christ himself, the teacher of teachers, brings forth that word. Verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And this, of course, would be the house of Mary and Martha. And we will learn quite a lesson here of our own and how precious it is. Don't miss the next lecture. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books are necessary to understand the returning to the Father in that sense of the example set forth in the end times of the rebuilding of God's most favorite place on earth. Also, within these two books, you find the hidden secret, hidden from most people's eyes, that the study in the Hebrew and the Chaldee that is given in these particular books will teach you how that the priesthood itself became polluted during this period of time. This is to say about 400 years before Christ walked the earth to the time that he did walk, instructing you very wisely, setting the example of how it is that we gather back to Christ himself. Ezra and Nehemiah, fantastic. You'll enjoy them.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination or organization. We don't judge people. God is the judge. You have the word. Use spiritual discernment and live your life accordingly. You'll always be blessed. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but you'll always be blessed. That's what counts. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. But you got a prayer request. You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You're his child. He created you different than anyone else. But he does want you to love him. That's what this earth age is all about, is whether you love him or whether you love Satan. It's your choice. It's your freedom to make that choice. And if you want blessings, you will always choose the Father, because he certainly chose you. And do you know something? Your soul belongs to him. You don't give it to him. As it's written in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, he owns it. It's his to do with as he pleases. Therefore, it's better that you please him. You think about it, Father. As we come before you around the globe, Father, lead, guide, touch, Father, in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. And how precious it is to be able to follow him and to love his word. And certainly, how could you help but otherwise? Question time, Michael from New York. Pastor Murray, I stopped going to a church that taught the rapture about a year ago. They continue to send me letters and envelopes and ask, why am I not going? How should I handle this? You know, there is something I never do is tell somebody what you should do in relationship to a church, because I think God is using you, and you're the one that must have a conviction to do one or the other. Now, myself, I would ignore them. But it may be that you would want to write a letter and explain why. But would it do any good? Well, only God can tell you that. That's why that we have to trust Him to give you a conviction one way or the other. But thank God that you have eyes to see and ears to hear, that you don't go where teaching is false. That's growing in our Heavenly Father's Word. Dave from Florida. If God is all-knowing, which I believe He is, then why did He create Satan? Well, our Father is all-knowing, all right, with the exception of one thing. He knows, and He is very wise, that you can't buy love, you can't force it, and you can't order it. Love must originate within the entity from which it comes. Therefore, God in no way can force someone to love Him, because it would be fake. And He doesn't believe in fakeness. He'll not participate in that. And you have to realize why he created Satan. And it is written in Ezekiel 28, when He did create him, that in the day that I created you, He made him the full pattern. Why? He deserved it. He worked hard for Almighty God for a long time and was elevated up to the position of the cherub that covereth, meaning over the mercy seat. And then he became proud within himself. That's what God wanted to know. Would he love God, or would he love himself or somebody else? He certainly loved himself. It's called pride. And it caused his fall. But that's why God lets this earth age then come into being, where man, rather than being created by God, is born innocent of woman, yet the soul comes from God. Born innocent, making in lifetime its own mind up whether it'll follow God or Satan. Their choice. Alfred from California. How can one find out his purpose to serve the Lord? It's real simple, reading God's Word. If you don't read His Word, you don't know what His plan is. So there's no way you could know how you could fit into it if you don't know what God's got planned and what He's going to do. And many people find their destiny when they read Mark chapter 13. Knowing that if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, the false Christ is coming first. And there is no way on this earth that you're going to worship Satan. So you'll stand against him. That's privileged, and that's a destiny. Because the Holy Spirit will speak through you, and the whole world will hear the truth. That's the destiny of many people. But you have to read God's plan to find where you fit into it. You cannot, if you're ignorant concerning God's plan and God's Word, you can't be too helpful to God. Okay. Let's put it this way. Let's say that you need brain surgery. You would rather pick somebody that was well-schooled in surgery that's going to play around with your brain, or would you want to pick a brick mason? Hammer and chisel, you know. Who would you pick to play with your brain? Well, naturally, who is God going to pick to use in His Word? It's somebody that knows God's plan, that are educated in it and can be useful. David from Minnesota. Since when can a spirit reproduce? Satan is a spirit. Satan has a spirit, but he's also an entity. And have you never read Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7? He's walking to and fro on earth. But he was restricted to heaven, but his spirit only can come to earth. every man, every entity has a spirit. And you can use that spirit for good reasons or for bad reasons. And that is what your spirit is. But you still got a physical body. And whether it's a spiritual body or a flesh body. You see, well, what were these flesh bodies copied from? Made in the perfect image of the spiritual body. And even as they were in the wilderness, they ate angels' food, manna, to sustain themselves. So, and when the sons of God, angels, came to earth in Genesis 6, they impregnated the daughters of Adam, and hybrids were born to them. Geber. Okay, that's giants. Because they were hybrids. It happened. So, yeah, sure, Satan has a spirit, but he's got a body also. And it's coming to earth. That's what Jesus was talking about today. I've felt Satan fall as a star from heaven. Mary from Oklahoma. How many wives did Moses have? I know about Zipporah, but Jethro's daughter. So is she the same as the one in Numbers 12:1? In Numbers 12:1, she's called an Ethiopian. Why? Well, it's a. You must learn to discern a geographical identity to a racial identity. You see, Jethro was a Midian priest. Well, who was Midian? Well, read Genesis chapter 25 and you'll find that Keturah was the second wife of Abraham. And Abraham fathered the Midianites, Midian, and that's where this, she was a child of Abraham. But they lived in the land of the Kenites, in Ethiopia. And it's just like, if you're from Arkansas, you're an Arkansan. And so it is. That's a geographical identifier. And so that's what, it's the same woman. But the geographical location or identifier was utilized in Numbers 12:1. And so it is. It would have been against God's law for it to have been otherwise than a daughter of Abraham. Carrie from Missouri. Please explain Psalms 82, specifically verse 6. Who is God talking to and what does he mean? Also, John 10:34, as Jesus was quoting Psalms 82:6. Thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you and your ministry. Well, he sure does, and we thank him for it. The word is that no one ascends back to heaven that didn't come from there to start with. I'm just simplifying it here. And as it would say in John, even Christ himself, he ascended up to heaven, but he himself came down from heaven. And so it is that, as it is written, when you pass away, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, ascends up to God from whence it came. That's where it came from. That's where it's going back to. And that's what it means. It's that simple. Nobody came out from under, came from under a rock out here in the woods. Okay, they came from God. Larry from Idaho. I really appreciate your teaching. Only place I've heard that teaches God's word in depth. How do you get people to believe God's words and not man's traditions? Like the six-day people and the sin in the garden. When you have a person that has ears to hear, but God has blinded many people, and you're, don't waste your time. If they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear, they're not going to hear you. So, but be patient. You know, our time is coming, and you will fulfill the role of Mark chapter 13. But there will be people occasionally that are going to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and just one. It's worth the whole trip is to bring that one to the altar of Almighty God. James from Arkansas. I've put my name. Okay, thank you. My dad was in World War. Okay, good, fantastic. I have asked you this before. I think they. My question is, if God, our Father, had an airplane, will he need one? Will we need one when we die to get up there? The answer is no. He'll take care of business. In the spirit, just like we were saying a while ago, you ascend right back to him. His altar was in a vehicle, okay? But the main thing is, God is coming here. We're not going anywhere. He's coming right here. He's going to establish his kingdom right here on earth. And we don't have to fly anywhere or go anywhere. He's coming to us. And thank God for that. Your documentation for that would be Revelation chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. Right here on earth, God establishes kingdom. You know, he made this covenant with that geographical location in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 16. And that geographical location is Mount Zion. It's his most favorite place in not only the world, but the whole universe. And that's where his kingdom is going to be. Kristen from Oklahoma, here's my question. Is there a biblical reason why we don't live as long as they did in B.C.? And on the sixth trump, will the Antichrist come in the flesh or as an angel? As he's a cherubim, but he'll be in what we would call flesh, like we are made in that image. And in other words, is he here de facto? A being that is in our dimension that we will see and that he will walk to and fro on the earth. The reason people don't live as long today is we have polluted ourselves with various contaminants until it's not as healthy as it used to be. It was a healthy old world in the beginning before man messed it up. Michael from Washington, does drinking and smoking take me out of fellowship with God? Does sin take me out of fellowship? It's according to what the sin is. Smoking and drinking is a thing of health. It is not a spiritual thing. Many people would disagree with that, be that as it may. But it destroys your health. And when it comes to the point that it bothers your health, to the point that you can't serve God, then that's where you're really knocking on the door of getting in deep trouble. So if something hurts you, if something interferes with your doing God's bidding, then it's best to leave it alone. Gary from Pennsylvania, what is your opinion of the Farrah Fenton Bible written in 1910? It's a fantastic Bible. It's a good work. It's not my favorite, but it is a good work. Farrah Fenton was a good scholar of God's Word. Michael from Washington, are we going to physically hear the seven trumps when they sound? No, not necessarily. Some of them have already sounded. The way you know when it has sounded is by recognizing and knowing the events that transpire when the trump comes to pass. A trumpet simply means it is time to execute the command. A seal simply is the knowledge placed in your head whereby you can recognize the execution of the command when it comes to fullness, when it happens. And of course, the vials are all God's wrath, which happen at the end, beginning with the sixth and seventh. Melissa from Arkansas, my question is, from the time of 1948, was it a 50, 70, or 120 time periods? How can I find this in the Companion Bible? Well, it isn't written. No one knows the actual time, the hour, as it is written in Mark chapter 13, which you've heard me refer to several times today. Almighty God is the only one that knows the instant. Now, we are supposed to know the season and recognize it. Well, where is that documented? Daniel chapter 12. Close the book, Daniel. You're not going to understand. But in the end, the wise shall understand the season. A season means the generation. We do understand that generation of the fig tree. We know when it began in 1948. And we know that that generation, however long it is the final generation. As Mark 13 so declares, all prophecy will come to completion in the generation of the fig tree. And so time marches on. Here's the thing. Don't try to set dates. You're a watchman. And a watchman that doesn't watch and give the warning to other people of the events transpiring, the nearness, the association between current events and God's word, to sound that warning whereby God can bless you, that's what a watchman does. A watchman doesn't predict the instant the time world's going to end. Why? Well, if you're very wise, you know God has said there's no way you're going to know the instant. But you do know the season, and that's a lot. That's a lot to be thankful for from Almighty God. So what can I say? You're a watchman. Watchman, watch. Kevin from Colorado, thank you so very much for your tea. You're welcome. Bless you all at the chat. Thank you. Question, is the word Mamzar in my Strong's Concordance? But if so, can you help me find it? 4464 in the Hebrew dictionary. The word 4464 in the Hebrew dictionary. That's real easy to remember. It's three fours with a six next to the end. 4464. In the Hebrew, not the Greek, but the Hebrew dictionary. It will help you know what a Mamzar is. Deborah from Pennsylvania. Pastor Murray, is Zechariah at the end of the Old Testament the same as Elizabeth's husband? God bless you. No, it isn't. The Zechariah at the end of the Old Testament was about 400 and something B.C. And naturally, Zechariah in John's period was during Christ's time when he walked the earth before he was born. So that would be right at the beginning of A.D. So he would have been over 400 years old, you see. So it was not the same person, all right? Kathy from Minnesota, please explain John 3:13, and also thank you. No man, here we go again. No man ascends up to heaven that didn't come down from heaven. I don't know. This seems to give people considerable trouble, but it's very simple. It simply is saying we all came from God. Our very being, our soul, our self, we all came from God. Why? We're His children. And there's only one way. Anybody that ascends up to Him also came down from Him. That's just a fact of life. That's the way it is. Anytime a child, at conception, the soul comes from God and enters in the mother's womb, the child, and is with that child until that child returns to the father from whence he came. Laverne from Florida, does God punish people when they don't know the Bible? Well, I wouldn't say he's patient. It is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 or 8, one or the other. God is long-suffering. That means He's got lots of patience. And it is His will that all come to repentance. They won't. But God hopes they will. And so it is that He is very patient. So, I could kind of say it this way. Laverne, he wrote you a letter. Why? Because he loves you. Now, if you love somebody and you wrote them a letter and they wouldn't read it, wouldn't even open it, how would you feel about that? I mean, he sent us this letter telling us how to find happiness, how to be healthy, how to be wise, how to stay out of trouble, basically, though sometimes we trip. But he tells you what to even do for that to obtain forgiveness. He sent that letter to you. And that's what it is. It's a letter telling you how to find happiness. So no, he wouldn't punish you. You see, you're punishing yourself because you're holding yourself away from the blessings of God. And boy, that is cruel to yourself. That is just downright pure out-and-out cruelty that you would do that to yourself. Is to hold yourself away from God's blessings when he loves you so much. And he may not love what you're doing, but he does love you. Well, and therefore I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all too. I love you because you enjoy studying God's letter, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But most of all, God loves you for it. Makes his day. And when you make his day studying the letter he sent you, then, boy, is he going to make your day. You can count on it. You bless God, he will always bless you. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Again, blessing God, he will always bless you. But most important, you listen to me, listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word, it's a good day even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's